I feel like after that song service, that's me speaking now, that we could say a word of prayer and go home. You see, and that's what the song service is supposed to do to us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, and we've not got there in our study of Ephesians yet, but he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, we're to speak to one another in these psalms and hymns that we sing.
Amen.
To one another. And sometimes I fail to do that because we don't stop and really consider what we're singing. Well, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter 4, we'll continue our studies this afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, in the 4th chapter. And we're getting close to the end. We've been averaging about a verse a week now, the last 4 or 5 verses. This verse here, I think we may have to divide it up in two, we'll see how it goes. But we're ready for verse 25. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I'm of late, I don't know, the last year and especially the last 6 months, I guess we'd say, I've really, really realized that all men are liars. All men are liars. And that burns my heart. Because I was such a great liar. And still am. Romans three gives us this admonition. Well, maybe it's not Romans 3. Am I in Romans 3? No, I thought it was Romans 3. It says, let God be true, and every man a liar. You have that, brother?
3 or 4.
I was looking over it, wasn't it?
God forbid, yeah, I was looking over. God forbid, verse 4 of chapter 3, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And as you think about that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, in other words, only speak what God speaks and nothing more. Even our little chit-chat when we get together, before and after services or at lunch or whatever, our little chit-chat is good, but let every man be a liar. Unless we're speaking the truth of God. Now, that's not to say that the things we discuss and say aren't some semblance of truth, a bit of truth to them. But just remember, men are liars. But we have this admonition as members of the Great Baptist Church to put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. He starts it off where he said, wherefore? On account of. You see how that just links it in with what he's been saying. And particularly in the verse preceding that. Wherefore, on account of. This is an incitement, a call to action based on the fact that we have put off the old man and put on the new. That's what he's saying. This wherefore joins that fact, we've put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put away lying. Wherefore? On account of this, if I, in fact, am a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus, on account of that, I am to put away lying and speak truth. Amen. Well, considering the fact that let God be true, but every man a liar, what am I to be speaking then? I'm to be speaking about God. Of the things of God. I'm to be speaking the truth. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Here the Colossian church is admonished. Lie not one to another, seeing or because that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Being that you have put off the old man and his works, which lying falls into that category, lie not one to another, he said. Putting away lying.
putting away, to put off. He said there in Colossians, the third chapter, the chapter we were just in verse 9, in verse 5, he said, mortify. Put to death. Put to death the old man. Put to death. Put to death lying. That's what we're talking about, putting away. We're talking about putting it to death. Let us not do it anymore, any longer. It is a continual process. You look at it, that putting away. Putting away. What does that mean, putting? It means that it is not just a one-time thing. It is a continual process of putting away lying, putting away lying, putting away lying. I put away lying today. Well, just because I've done it today, what am I going to do tomorrow? I'm going to put it away. It's a continual process. Something that we have to be on guard about. We have to be aware of. Generally, when I speak on the topic of lying and false witness, I generally bring into account the fact that I don't lie. You don't? How do you want me to perceive you? Well, if you're anything like me, then I think you are. You see, I only want you to perceive good things about me. And you only want me to perceive good things about you. I don't want you to know how bad I can be and how bad I am. And you don't want me to know that about you either. Are not we lying? Sure are. We sure are. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Yes, in chapter 6. I know we've been there a lot. But this is pertinent to the study. Just as every song that we sang this afternoon is pertinent to the theme of this message and the messages that we've been preaching for the past several weeks, every song we sang this afternoon is pertinent to the message we preached this morning. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! God forbid that we should continue on in lying! Know ye not that liars shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? I'm sure glad that my inheriting the kingdom of heaven is not based on the fact that I at times am a liar. Thank God for His wonderful, marvelous grace. Grace greater than all my sin. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? What does Jesus' death signify? It signifies that there's a penalty to sin, and that penalty for sin is death, and Jesus Christ paid that penalty for sin. And as He paid my sin, I'm now dead to sin. And to be dead to sin. That's what I pictured in the waters of baptism. That's what I said. I said that I was now dead to sin. And you did too.
Amen.
Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. Not the oldness of the past life. When I was a great liar. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Know you not that one day you're going to raise again from the grave as He raised? That is this body? That ought to spur us on. Hadn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, mortified. That our old man is crucified. We still live in this flesh, but we're to be crucifying it daily. Yes, in a real literal sense, we are to be crucifying the desires and the passions of this flesh. And if one of the desires and passions of this flesh is to lie, to make you think that I'm something I'm not, I'm to put that and crucify it.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean I have to reveal to you the deepest, darkest thoughts of my mind either. But I don't need to try to deceive you into thinking that I'm something that I'm not. And vice versa. Knowing that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. We have declared faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into Christ, into His body, the church. The church at Melbourne, Florida, Grace Baptist Church. There's no place for lying. No place. No place for lying in Grace Baptist Church. Just think about that for a minute.
If I as your pastor, the under shepherd of Grace Baptist Church, if I lie to you, even if it be something of a personal nature, and you find that lie out when I'm standing up here handling the Word of God, what's that do to your confidence? In me. If you find it out about Brother Ron, what's that do to your confidence in Brother Ron? And so on. You see why this is such an important thing? Ought not to be in the church. Ought not to be in the life of a Christian. And so we're to be constantly putting away. There's no place for lying. It's of the old man. It's not to be a part of the new man. The new man is something different. Supposed to be. Turn with me now to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms. In chapter 52. And look with me at verse 3 here. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Something to think about that. If we're guilty of lying, then we love lying more than righteousness. You see, lying is opposed to righteousness. Lying is wickedness. It's evil. That is a work of the old man. The nature we were born with. Psalms 58. In verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies. See, that's what we were. We're not anymore. Ought not to be. And so, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 8, John, chapter 8, and verse 44, he told these Pharisees here, these ones who said they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he began to talking to them, we have but one father, Abraham. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, well, if you did the works of your father, if Abraham was your father, then you would do the works of your father Abraham. You would do the same works that your father Abraham did. Which was what? What work was he talking about? He was talking about belief and it being accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. He was talking about Abraham believing God and offering his only son as a sacrifice there on the altar. And he was ready to sacrifice his only son, but God stayed his hand. You see, he was demonstrating his faith. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11 tells us he was demonstrating his faith in the fact that he was going to go ahead and offer his only son, accounting that God would have raised him from the dead. As That's the kind of faith he had in God. It was a faith that worked. It was a faith that called him to be obedient. And he told these that you'd do the works of your father, Abraham, if he were your father. And he goes on in verse 44, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When we lie, we're demonstrating that we have another father than God.
Did we ever think about that? I dare say not. Lying is not pleasing to God. And therefore the new man is not pleased with it either. You just think back when you're deceiving someone, which is a lie, when you're in the process of deceiving someone, what's your heart telling you? What's the new man telling you? It's not right. It's not right. Not right. That's the way it is with me. I don't know about you. Even all the time when I'm doing something, I'm keeping it from loved ones because I think it might be destroy them, you know. My heart was telling me, it ain't right. It ain't right. One of these days, you're going to get caught. One of these days, they're going to find out.
He's not pleasing to the new man either. Turn with me, book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You see, deal falsely, it's lying. Neither lie to one another. This he commanded his people, Israel, after that he brought them out of the land of Egypt, across the Red Sea. He gave them the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. He gave them instructions for the building of the tabernacle. Some of those instructions are enumerated for us in the book of Leviticus, as far as to the sacrifices and so forth, as far as to stealing and dealing falsely and lying one to another.
Look what else God says about it. The book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 6.
We read this just recently as well. Verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. They're all together. What about them, Pastor? Look at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
It's an abomination. It's not truth. And it's not truth. It's against Him. Chapter 12 of Proverbs. Verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Speak the truth, not lying. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And we could run off several directions with that. Lying tongue is but for a moment. It's for the moment that you're telling it. But eventually, maybe later than sooner, but eventually, that lie is going to be found out. It's going to be revealed that you're a liar. But the lip of truth, established forever, it's righteousness, it's truth. Pray. Pray. Pray for all lying. Pray for all deceit. Pray for all falsehood to be removed from you. Turn with me to the 119th Psalm. In verse 29. Verse 28, the psalmist says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Listen, so much of this psalm, the 119th psalm, is prayer to God. It's making a statement to God, but then it's a prayer to God as well. He said, remove from me the way of lying. And grant me thy law. Raise it. This was the psalmist. I think it was David. There are many commentators who don't think it was David. I think it was David. But it doesn't matter. It was a saved man that wrote this psalm, the 119th psalm. He loved the word of the Lord. He loved the ways of the Lord. He prayed that the Lord would lead him in the paths of righteousness. He prayed that his word was a light unto his path and a lamp unto his way, or vice versa. And he's saying, remove from me lying. Remove from my way the way of lying. He didn't want that to be a part of his life, a way of his life. Because the old man's not, the new man's not pleased with it. Just as God is not. The new man is created by God. It is the Spirit of God indwelling. It's Christ indwelling us. He's not pleased with me. Pray that all falsehood would be removed from your way. For the new man, that which I'm, the new creature in Christ Jesus, is created after God. My desire and prayer is that I might show forth the glory of God. What am I saying? That I might show forth the glory, that my way might show forth Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Do we want people to see Jesus Christ living in us?
The only way they're going to see it is by our life. That involves our speech. Where did I say turn? Titus. Turn with me, book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 starts out, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God that cannot lie promised what? Promised us eternal life. God cannot lie. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. And Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children. If we're to be imitators of God as dear children, if we're to show forth that we are created of God in righteousness and true holiness, we're to be putting away lying.
Lying is not a part of God. We just read it in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. But God which cannot lie. I'm glad he didn't lie. Just think about if he was a liar like me and like you. Would you be able to have any confidence that you have eternal life? Would I be able to have any confidence that I have eternal life? If God lied, like I do, I'm to be imitating Him. I'm created after Him. My life is to be one of righteousness and true holiness, showing forth the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, we'll close with that this afternoon. Next week we'll go on speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Shall we stand together?